Father, we thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity to get together and get to know each other and to hear your word, God, to hear your truth. Lord, it's a world filled with a lot of confusion, and it's tough to know what's true and what isn't. And Lord, we just want our opinions, our thoughts, our very souls formed by you and your truth. I pray that you would do that. Help us to do that today, Lord. Help us to yield and submit and listen to what you have to say to us. And help that as she speaks this morning to speak clearly and in your word and in your truth to all of us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wait a microphone, don't you?
Yes, but first of all, how much are you going to have me agree? Because last time I just thought it was that one, and you tricked me with like a
gazillion. Two slides.
I have no idea what's on
there. Two slides.
Okay.
You can do it, Sandra.
You got this.
This one is first, right?
Yep.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1:2-4. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires and that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires.
Galatians 5:16-17.
Awesome. Age today. So that will help you with what we're talking about. All right, you guys ready for an information dump? Because that's usually how I roll. So you all know that we're taking a break from going book by book, so we're doing some topical stuff for the summer, which is kind of fun. So we get to talk about things that are making us curious, things that we're passionate about, so that's why you're getting us today. But I want to make sure you all know that we're big on scripture here, and we take it very seriously, and we'll dive back into that in the fall. All right. So a couple things that I have been really curious about are the impact of screens and social media on our kids and the raging epidemic of anxiety in America. And I talked about this on our teacher's retreat, so a little bit of what I'm sharing with you today is going to be familiar, because I went and read a book called The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. Anybody heard about him here? Fantastic book. And he talks about a mental collapse that has happened in the health, especially among young people, between 2010 and 2015. Anybody know what happened between 2010 and 2015? 2010 to 2015, significant because we all got our smartphones. Smartphones came out, and they see this huge mental collapse going on. It's significant. And smartphones, they're saying, are experience blockers. So when they say experience blockers, it means that people are far more interested in screen stuff than they are real life experiences. And this is showing up in some numbers, which is pretty fascinating. So when I was in high school with Kim Carlton back there, who we went to grade school together, fifth grade, but when we were in high school, 90%, this is 1986, 90% of our classmates had their driver's license and had a job. 90%, that was pretty normal. Now, it's less than 60% of high school seniors have their driver's license and a job. So we're seeing that number plummet because they're far more, they're saying that part of the reason for this is because of the experience blockers of screens. You want to hear some good news? They're having less sex, too. So, pregnancy rates are down. That's a win. So there is a little bit of a bright side, and less drugs. So that's a win, too. But the other thing that's not happening is that kids, when you're growing up, you kind of do these things, you know, when you're doing real life experiences, you're kind of pushing some boundaries. You're kind of doing things that are a little more risky than normal, kind of edgy. You're kind of working on your social skills, things like that, right? But if you're not doing that, you're on your phone, you're not working that muscle. And all that stuff that we do to push boundaries and take risks and live life and have those experiences, those things are, they're saying, listen to this, inoculate you against anxiety. The stuff that we do in real life inoculates us against anxiety. And so if we're just having most of our experiences on our phone, that isn't helping our mental health at all. At all. So kids raised in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I'm one of those, we had little to no supervision. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, mom and dad did not know where we were. You know, we'd head out the door and they're like, come back when the streetlights go on. Yeah, that was it. Or come back at dinner time. So there wasn't a lot of supervision. We were off in the neighborhood and they didn't know if you were like six blocks over or where you were. And that's changed. That has changed. So our parents were not there to keep us safe, to help us solve problems with our friends, or to protect us from the edgy, dangerous things that we felt drawn to do. And we did all sorts of edgy, dangerous things. I'm going to share some of my edgy, dangerous things. And some of you have heard this before, but my friends and I, we went out and played with Roman candles and garbage can lids.
Oh yeah.
That's wise. I didn't do that.
We never did garbage can lids.
Because I'm a good Christian. I'm alive today because I covered them in prayer. The other thing that we did is, you guys know, like we went, a group of us in high school went and spent the night on the banks of the Sandy River in kind of an isolated place. We got lost, couldn't find our way back. They had to come find us. These are things that my mom didn't know about. Hookie bobbin. Do you guys know what hookie bobbin is?
No.
Okay, that is where you are on a skateboard and you grab the back of a car and it drags you through the streets, but they're not supposed to know, so you have to get down really low. Yeah, I didn't do that again. I was the one who covered those people in prayer. Now, Mary's not here, but what's interesting with Mary is when she was 5 years old, I kid you not, her mom was sending her to the store to buy her cigarettes. She says three or four. Like, she was like little. So there were things going on that CSD would be calling your parents today that we were doing that was pretty normal. I was allowed to go on double dates when I turned 16. And my first double date was at a Globetrotters game. That's really fun. And it was my 15-year-old friend, and it was me, and our dates were 24 years old.
Oh,
that's appalling. That is appalling. I mean, that's just wrong. So, parents, so then I became a parent. So Grant and I had Grant. And like good parents, we pendulum swung. We're like looking at all this stuff that our parents let us do, and we're like, not my kid. And so we like extremely pendulum swung on that. So we want to know where our kids are all the time. I wanted to know where Grant was. If you were out at our old house in the woods, remember that? Grant's like 10 years old, he's playing in the backyard. I have the door open so I can watch him. You know, just in case he, I don't know, was attacked by a bird. I don't know what happened. It's the safest neighborhood out there. But parents can be experience blockers. We can be the ones that are protecting our kids too much so that they don't have real life experiences that help inoculate them against anxiety. So, one of the things that our generation did raising kids is we did more group sports and there was less free play. We brought in helmets and car seats and seat belts, a lot more fear-based parenting, stranger dangers, big, more oversight, and know where our kids are all the time. So when smartphones came out, or phones in general, we're so excited about it. It's like, now we can know where they are all the time. But there is some irony to this. And the irony is that we really focus on safetyism. That's a new word, it's a real word, safetyism, on keeping our kids physically safe. But we did nothing to protect our kids from the new vast dark world of the internet. We were not ready for it. We were not ready for it. So we did not have rules in place, we did not have boundaries in place. And as you know, the internet unfolded so fast that our kids, you know, all you have to do on the internet is push a button that says, yes, I'm 13, and you can go anywhere. There's no safety precautions, none of that. We're doing better now, but when Grant was getting his phone and his computer, where are you, Grant? I'm looking at you all the time. when that was happening, we didn't have the safety things in place. We weren't ready. And so that was pretty rough. Okay, now, you may have your safety things in place, but 71% of kids have said that they have done something to hide their online activity from their parents. Give me a thumbs up if you think that number's higher than 71% or lower. I'm seeing a lot of, yeah, higher, definitely, definitely. Those other kids are lying. So I don't know the kid, I think. I mean, if you're that kid who's not done something to hide your online activity, your parents can talk to me because Jesus loves you more. So that's pretty great. But we know that the online world is a breeding ground for lying, inauthenticity, loneliness, rejection, shame, anxiety, depression, all of those things. We know that. We know that our phones are causing that. They're not a symptom, but a cause of those things. I've shared this, these numbers with you before. They're so baffling, but when I talk to our 20-somethings, if you're in your 20s, raise your hand. But we have a bunch. I really like our 20-somethings in this church. This is about you. So when we talk about anxiety, college kids in 2023, a study showed that 37% of our college students feel anxious all of the time. All of the time. They wake up, they go through their day, they go to bed, they're anxious all of the time. 31% feel anxious at least half the time, so half the time or more. And then a third feel anxious less than half the time. This is baffling. And for those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, this is not how we felt when we were in college. This is not how we felt. This is brand new. And so it's rough because we've got our young adults and youth in a perpetual state of distress. And that is an issue. Okay, so here's what's interesting. What are our kids doing online that is causing this stuff? Well, boys and girls differ. As much as the world would like to say boys and girls are the same, they are not the same, especially when they're on the internet. So girls went to social media platforms. That's what they're spending their time on the internet doing. They're on social media platforms. Boys are on multiplayer video games.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Accurate. Yes, you guys are nodding. All right. So they're like, bad things are happening. This is affecting their psyche. How do we measure how bad it is and how it's affecting girls and boys differently? And so a statistic they could look at is self-harm numbers and emergency room visits from 2010 to 2020. So they looked at how much, you know, these violent games you boys are playing. You know, are they affecting your self-harm numbers? And absolutely they are. Boys' self-harm numbers have gone up by 48%. Can I hear you all gasp? Thank you. That's horrible. That's a really big number, but there is a number that's scarier because girls have gone up by 188%. 188%. And this broke my heart. This broke my heart. And we're at City's Edge, we're going to do something about that. I have a basket, we're going to take all your phones. We're going to have a fire.
I will get the girls playing Call of Duty.
Girls. This is trouble. Okay. So the thing that's going on here is that girls' lives move to social media platforms because they're looking for connection and personal affirmation. But what they find is constant social comparison, unachievable beauty standards, and a need to brand and curate an online presence, and nobody can handle that. So instead of social connection, they're finding loneliness and disconnection. And instead of personal affirmation, they're finding their worth and value shredded to bits. That's what their online time is doing to them. And we know that depressed girls from 2010 to 2015, after the smartphones came out, just skyrocketed. Boys went up a little bit, but nothing like the girls. And that's what that book is talking about that I shared with you. Jonathan Haidt is discovering this, saying we have a crisis in America around this. This is a huge crisis. Side note, you know, we had that baby girl boom in City's Edge many years ago. They're in this age group now. And so this is why it's on my heart, is we have a number of girls in their teens at City's Edge. And I love them a lot. So I'm feeling protective. But studies are showing that we're all affected by our phones. And our phones pull us away from experiences, from community, and from meaningful connection. So back to safetyism, which is a word, This is also from Jonathan Haidt's book. How many of you have heard of Biosphere 2? Any of you? Thank you, nerds. my son raised his hand. That is an affirmation in our church, if I call you that. So Biosphere 2 is fascinating. It's in Arizona, and it was built, what year was it built? It was built in 1987 to 1991. And it's a complex that they built, you know, a whole bunch of little buildings, but what it's designed to do is to sustain life of up to 8 people and be, what do you call it? I have it in my notes here, self-sustaining. So it can support the lives of 8 people indefinitely. That was the goal. It wasn't failed, but that was the goal. But it provides its own oxygen, food, and water are all generated within the facility. It has its own rainforest, it has its own saltwater ocean, its own fog desert, agriculture system, grasslands, wetlands, everything. And the goal for this thing, which is ridiculously cool, is to someday be able to support life in space. I mean, how cool would that be? So they built this thing, and you can see that one big building. Well, they grew a forest in there, and the trees just started like sprouting up and doing really, really great. And they're like, this is working. This is awesome. Let's go to space. And then the trees started falling down. And they're like, why are the trees falling down? This is bizarre. And what they figured out, the reason the trees are falling down is because something was missing in there. Anybody know what it was? Wind and weather. You're right. It didn't have wind. And so what they tell us about trees, and this is so fascinating, go to the beach. We have a lot of people here from Rockaway today, and you see these trees, these really knotted trees that kind of bend, and you can see how the wind is like pushed in this way. The reason they're not cracking and breaking is because in that bend, the wood condenses. It's called stress wood. And so as trees get bent and blowing in the wind, they start gripping the soil. And as they're gripping the soil, the roots become stronger. And so those storms and that wind and all of that stuff, it's making them survive future storms. Do you know where I'm going with this? Can you see it? Yes. Yes. We need our storms. We need our storms. And I think it's amusing that bends in the storm is called stress wood. You know, it's talking about stress. The trees need wind to survive. And trees that are exposed to strong winds early in life become trees that can respond to stronger winds when grown. So think about this. We need real life experiences. We need risk and speed and danger and problems and things like that to inoculate us against anxiety. We need challenging and hard things to ground us and make us strong. We all need our trials. We need those. Your kids need their trials. Your spouse needs their trials. The people that you love and care about, they need their trials. They need their trials. You're familiar with James 1. Thank you for reading it this morning, Sandra. The thing that I've always heard this thing, and I focus on consider joy, and I just like stop there because it makes no sense to me. But it's a powerful scripture, and there is a lot there. And normally when I hear people preach on it, that first part is what they focus on. But I'm fascinated with these 5 words. Let perseverance do its work. Let perseverance finish its work. That's even better. Let perseverance finish its work. There's trials and stuff happening in our lives. And when we are persevering, a work is happening in us. A holy work, a spiritual work. And it needs to finish. It needs to do its thing so that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Let perseverance do its work. So there's a message for parents here. Step back. Let your kids solve their problems. Let them wrestle with perseverance. Let them navigate a difficult relationship of bullying at school. Maximize what they do instead of minimizing it. I think today we're so quick because of safetyism and we want our kids to have easy, good lives. You know, I don't want Brent to have any problems. So if I have the opportunity to swoop in and take one away, I'm tempted to do that. But I think it's much more powerful if we see that the Holy Spirit loves our kids, that God loves our kids, there's a work happening in them, and we can back off on some things and let perseverance do its work. Let perseverance finish that. So now let's talk about playgrounds. Kim, do you remember these? We had monkey bars. Ours were that shape. I think that was Wilcox. I'm not sure if they had it in Glen Haven like that. But just that shape, the square box things. And there were two sets of them because we segregated. There were boys and girls. We had our own monkey bars. Over concrete? Like, really? Yes, yes, and people were breaking arms. You remember that, you know? It's like that was, you get one or two broken arms a year. That was just part of growing up. But that's just so fascinating to me. And today, if you see the playground structures, it's really hard to get an injury. You can hardly get a sliver anymore, you know? It's so different. But this is how we grew up. But here's what's interesting, is there's a movement now for free play and for kids having real life experiences. It's going across the country. And so one of the things that's happening is in New York and in different places, they're creating these parks for kids. And they're encouraging creativity and free play. So in these parks, they're putting in things like wheelbarrows, sandbags, hammer and nails, 2x4s.
Lawn darts.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
This is why he's not on the city team for planning that. But it's rope, you know, all these things so kids can get in there. The sandbags, they say they put those in there because it takes two or three kids to drag them. There's something cooperative about in a playground playing with these things and learning how to build and be creative and do things. This is what I love about this story. This is also from Jonathan Haidt's book, but they had to put a sign outside that says this: parents, your kids are fine without advice or suggestions. And you can see parents, you know, I'm one of those parents because I love the way, you know, I have an idea for you, we can make this better. But it's so good for kids to work on their own creative processes, their own galvanizing of friends. You know, work all that stuff out in the playground, it will inoculate them against anxiety. So I am a big fan of free play playgrounds. If you ever hear about any in the area, please tell me, I'd love to see how that's working out. But if your kids are struggling with something, I think sometimes they're fine without advice or suggestions. I know I have to really explain this, but I think our kids are wiser than we give them credit for. And I think sometimes when we give them advice or suggestions, they're just gonna push back against all of that and ignore what the Holy Spirit is doing in their hearts. I think the thing that we can do that's so powerful with our kids is to teach them to listen to the voice of God and listen to the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And ask them, if they're in a difficult situation at school, before you bombard them with suggestions and advice, which I'm so loaded, this is hard for me to share with you. To ask them, what do you think God wants you to do? What's God stirring in your heart? Do you feel like something's going on? And do you know why I believe God is working in the hearts of our kids? Because he's changing our desires. He's changing your kids' desires. And this is so fascinating to me when it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit, just take that in. Then you won't be doing what your simple nature craves. The simple nature wants to do what is evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Your desires are under construction. They're being meddled with by the Holy Spirit. That's so powerful. I get excited about that verse. And then there's this one too. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God's not only doing that in you, but he's doing that in your kids. And if we can tap into that with our kids and let them see, as they're believers and wanting to follow Jesus, that their desires are changing, listen with them. Ask them, what is the Spirit telling you to do? What do you feel led to do? I don't want to bring this up because I'd love to give my husband advice and suggestions, but I have been convicted by that my husband doesn't need all my advice and suggestions. suggestions, as good as they are. Yeah, he's saying thank you. But I think there's times, even with our spouses and in those relationships, to step back with our advice and suggestions and trust the Holy Spirit to be speaking into their lives. I think that's powerful. All right, y'all tracking with me? Okay, so what is our job? I'm an AA fan. Any of you guys working the steps, I commend you. But in AA, they tell us to share. I'm not an official AA person. I'm a wannabe. I'm going to start drinking any day so I can belong. But I drink, but I need to do it in excess, I hear. But in AA, they have some powerful, powerful, powerful tools that I think we could all benefit from. But what they say in AA, you don't share your advice and suggestions, do you? No. You share your experience.
Experience, strength, and hope.
That's what you share. Thank you. You share your experience. What happened to you? Tell your story. You share your strength, which I think is, tell me if I'm right, I'm with you on this. I support you on this. You're sharing your strength. I'm here for you. And the hope for believers is fantastic because we have hope in God and the Holy Spirit doing a work in our lives to transform us. That is like the most awesome hope ever. So that's what I think we can do, is share our hope and strength and experience. God is speaking and putting desires in our hearts. All right, so I told you guys that at City's Edge, we're going to do something about this because I think it's tragic what's happening with our girls. And I don't think anybody's immune who has a phone or a smartphone. So one of the things, I met with Mo and Marie, went to Denny's and Hooper. One of my favorite haunts. I've been there many times with Tana. And we talked about this. We talked about the statistics on girls and the 188% increase in self-harm. And we talked about our girls at City's Edge seeing how precious they are and how we want to see them thrive in a world that's trying to tear them down. And so we made a list. We have a list of five things that we think are kind of big issues for girls, are friendships and insecurity, anxieties, boys, and screens. Those are five things that we think our girls are grappling with that we're finding out online is not super helpful in these areas. So we've decided to offer timeouts. Now, timeout has a very negative connotation to it. But when I say timeout, you're going to want a timeout. Because don't you want to go out to coffee or out to lunch and have timeout to have like a real and meaningful conversation? I think this is such a fun thing. And so I talked to Beth, Stacy Rager, Stacy Johnson, Bo and Marie, and we are willing to host our girls with these conversations on friendships and security, anxiety, boys, and screens. We want to talk about this stuff so that they feel supported, so that we know what's going on in their lives. Like, this is so fun for us. And so what we've done is, because I do everything with a sign-up sheet, I have girls signing up already. We're having conversations with us. And all I want you girls to do, if you want to be a part of this, put your name on this. And if one of those things is like, I really want to talk about anxiety, or I really want to talk about friendships or something, write on this what you want to talk about. And we will organize a little time out with you to get together with you and maybe a couple others to have some of these meaningful conversations. Grace Collins is not here today, but I think I'm right, Annette, when she said she wants to have more real conversations, more authentic conversations. I think in this church that our young women see it with our older women really talking about big stuff and heavy stuff, and they're like, that's something that I want. I want more authentic community and connection. And so we're going to do this. I asked Nora this morning. Where's Nora? There you are, Nora. I said, Nora, is it a little weird if I have people sign up what they want to talk about? And she said, no, it's fine. And so I love how our kids are just have a boldness to them of, I want to talk about these real issues, and they're signing up with them. So I'm encouraging that. It makes me happy to see this list. But what I ask you all to do, pray over our girls. You can pray over our boys too, but pray over our girls. The stuff that they're facing and the stuff that's coming at them internally that to tear them down, nothing has swept the country like this. This is a huge, huge issue. I'm going to have this sign up for girls back by my chair. And let's say one of you is like, hey, I'm in my 30s, but man, I'd love to talk about boys. I'm game. You just put me on the list. We'll set you up. And also, I do want to say this. I did talk to Brad about this, and Brad goes, well, what about the boys? We want to have these conversations. We're going to be rolling that out in the next couple of weeks. There will be something for the boys to sign up and make those connections. He has a good team. You know who you talk to if you're a boy in this church? You've got Grant and Brad and Boogie and David and Nathan. Like, these are rock star teens that are reaching out to our kids and making themselves available for these conversations. We are so blessed in this church to be able to have those kind of people open to working with our kids. All right, that's my soapbox. But let us all, and in these things, we're not going to just sit there and rattle off advice. Hear me on this. We're not going to just rattle off advice and suggestions. That's the easy part. What we want to do with our kids is to help them listen to God's Spirit in their own life, get them invested in the Word, get them praying, be able to develop that so that they can hear God's voice in their life. It's there. And we're happy to say that's not God's voice. Nice try. You know, that's, we're here for that too, as discerners, but being able to talk about our own experience, share our strength, share our hope. And I think it's an opportunity for us to do that with each other. Sometimes I feel like when I hear statistics like what Jonathan Pate says about anxiety and screens sweeping the nation, I feel like we're trying to empty the ocean with a spoon. And so that's what I'm calling you all to do, is grab a spoon and let's empty the ocean. But I think there's something about, we have a powerful God, and what we do may seem insignificant. But I know for some people, and some girls in this room, and some people in this church, it may be very significant. So grab your spoon and let's empty the ocean together. I get to speak with you next week, too. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the four things that our phones do. We're going to go over each one. One is social deprivation, sleep deprivation, attention fragmentation, my personal favorite, and addiction. And so we will talk about that next week. So hope to see you back for that. I'm going to end with a blessing. I'm going to have this sign up for girls back by where I sit. You can come and put your name on it. I would love your name on it. It's also likely that if you don't, I'll come find you. Because we're that kind of church. But and you can tell me no. You can say, God, please do not take me to coffee and make me talk. And I won't. I will respect that. Sort of. God, you have placed us here in this church, in this city, in this time, for your purpose. Our arm is too short to reach the needs around us, but your arm, God, is not. We know your Spirit is active and powerful, guiding us and transforming our desires. May we trust you with our own hearts. May we trust you with our children's hearts. And may we trust you with the hearts of the people we love. May we let perseverance do its work to make us complete, mature, and not lacking anything. You are good, and your faithful love endures forever. We are yours and yours alone. And may your kingdom come and your will be done in us. Amen. All right. Somebody else can pose these questions. Thank you.
Okay.